Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Job. Remember in your prayers all the people that are on cruises in the Bahamas and in the Caribbean right now. I don't know if they try to rub it in or what. You know, I'm going, you know, the warm weather here. And it reminds me of the people in Alaska. You know, they don't go to the Caribbean. They go to Hawaii. So when they leave the state of Alaska, they use a term, you know, they're outside. And there's a pastor in Alaska, and somebody called or asked for the pastor, and they said, is the pastor there? And they said, no, he's outside. They said, when will he be back? Well, he'll be back in about 3 weeks. And they thought, 3 weeks? You know, he's just outside. They didn't understand. You know, he was out of the state. He was far away. It just reminded me of our speaker for the conference. It's from Fairbanks, Alaska. So he's going outside in March to come be with us. Job chapter 7, starting in verse 4. Job 7, verse 4. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good. Now, if you only knew those verses out of the book of Job, they would not be very happy. It would be a pretty morbid scene, would it not? Of course, the life of Job was that of a godly man, a man who cared for his family and children, experienced some severe tragedy as a result of a Satan attack. And in the end, we go all the way through the book, and we see how God blessed Job. But he made statements all through the book talking about how through his trials he became very internal. And he started thinking about the real meaning of life and thinking about time and thinking about how his days are spent. You know, for us, maybe it's been a great year for you, maybe it's been a difficult year, but the year is gone. 2014 is no more. Time keeps moving, passing away. So another year has come. If the Lord tarries his coming, we'll look back someday at 2015 and say, it's gone. It's no more. Time passes swiftly by, does not stop. It beats steadily on and never misses a beat. You cannot change it. You cannot stop it. It has its own schedule. It cannot be interrupted. Time passes on. Someone said, lost yesterday. Somewhere between sunrise and sunset, two golden hours, each set with 60 diamond minutes. No reward is offered, for they're gone forever. Time began back in the book of Genesis. And I want you to turn back with me, first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. It's kind of hard for us to understand this concept, but there was no time until God spoke a world into existence. We are constrained and live within the concept of time. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So out of nothing came light. Look at verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And evening and morning were the first day. Did it occur to you there was no evening and morning prior to that? He spoke a world in existence. Out of nothing or darkness came light. And then he had the evening and the morning. Time was suddenly relevant. It was there. There was no time. In the beginning, it talks about God. He was there. He existed. He was before time began. But he initiated this concept of time in a parameter by which we live. He created light, then he created a measure of time by dividing the light into night and day. So we have days. Today we measure time in lots of different ways. We have a watch or a clock on your wall. Some people have cuckoo clocks, you know, and that was really big at one time. Everybody wanted to have a cuckoo clock. We had a young couple stayed with us. It was a basketball tournament or something. So they slept on the floor of our living room. We had this cuckoo clock. And we forgot. We should have made it where it was not going cuckoo, but all night, every hour, this cuckoo comes out. You know, and they said, "How'd you sleep last night?" "Not very well. That cuckoo kept us awake." So, you know, we have different ways to measure time. My grandfather's always had a pocket watch, and they would put it in their bib overalls and pull it out, check the time. You know, I used to have a wristwatch. But you know what everybody does now? They pull their phone out and they look at the time. You know, a lot of people don't even have one. So you may have a clock on your dresser or on the kitchen or somewhere, but we're aware of the fact that there's time. And time is coming and going. It's always moving. Years and years ago, people, maybe one of the most initial ways people measure time was with a sundial. And they would watch the sun. They would know roughly how much time is passing by. There were water clocks, and people would, much like an hourglass, and it would measure time in that way. We know some people measure time with the sun or the moon and measure phases of the moon, and you know, it would help them with a calendar or even the stars and astrology. Some people would measure time. I read about the Chinese keeping time, that they would tie knots on a rope so far apart, and they would burn the rope, and they would know if it got to each knot how much time had passed. So there are different ways to measure time. There's in the past, people have very crude methods. We have very advanced methods today. You know, there's atomic clocks. You know, you can tell exactly what minute and second we're on. But the one factor that does not change, time moves on. No matter how you keep it, it moves. It does not stay stationary. It all tells the same story. But there are some lessons that we can learn for the matter of time. First of all, it never moves backward. You never get younger. You never say, "Oh, man, I can't believe it. I'm getting younger and younger every time I look in that mirror." You know, I've never heard anybody say that. When I was young, they used to have comic strips that everybody was looking for the fountain of youth. You know, I was going to make them look younger. As far as I know, they never found it. Okay? If they did, you know, it'd be worth a lot of money. But there's no such thing. We never have time go backwards. You never grow younger. You don't regain opportunities. When those opportunities come, they're here for a time, and then they pass away. So we know that time moves on and moves on, and those opportunities, when they are lost forever. Second thing we know about time is it did have a beginning, and it will have an end. Time began when he said the evening and the morning were the first day. God created time for us. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 10 and look at verse 5, the last book of the Bible. In Revelation chapter 10 and verse 5, time had its beginning when God created the heaven and the earth and divided the light from darkness, and there was morning and evening. But time will end, Revelation 10 and verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which therein, that there should be time no longer. That's kind of a hard thing for us to grasp because we're constrained by time. We live in this time era. But to think there would be no time is a hard concept even for us to grasp. In chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 23 says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." So there will be something about eternity that will not be constrained by time. You won't say, "Well, how many years have we been here?" Because time will be irrelevant. There will be no time. We'll just be there. And it's eternity, as we call it, eternity future. In verse 25, he said, the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. So out of nothing and out of darkness, God created light, and he divided the light from the evening and the morning. And then there were days and weeks and hours. We know there was 6 days of creation. The seventh day, God rested. We know then there were years, seasons, and times. And we come to the end of time, and time is no more. In eternity future, time will not be measured. He will light, and we go from the beginning of darkness, now it will be light all the time. Continually there will be light. There will be no night there. And evidently we'll not need to sleep. We'll just be alive and without that element of time. Number three, when time ends, eternity begins. Every day does end. You know, this day will end. At some point, it'll come to conclusion. It's over. Every night ends. Sometimes you may have had a long night, a sleepless night. Maybe a child is sick or injured or some problems occurred, and it seems like it'll never end. But it does. The night ends. Every week ends. Every year ends. There is an end to time. But man is destined to one of two places when time ends. There is no in-between. When time ends, man will be in one of two places, either heaven or he'll be in hell. One of those two. Luke chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Said there is a time of wrath to come, a time of judgment. Matthew 25:46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal." We know that for when a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has eternal life. Means forever. Meaning he'll never die. So if you see someone that they pass on, that they're still there. They're not gone. It's not the end, because they're in eternity future. They're with him. They're with Christ. Eternal life. And there is also eternal death. Eternal damnation. Number four, time is short. The time is brief and the opportunities are, we don't know how frequent, but few probably, for a person to be saved. When someone hears the gospel, they better heed and they better listen. We don't know when the patience of God will run out and he says, that's enough. We don't know how many opportunities we'll have. When someone hears the gospel and they hear what it means to be saved and it resonates in their heart, they know they need to receive Christ, then they better get saved. And I know sometimes young people have a hard time with this. And they say, you know, I want to get a car. Now, why they want to do that, I don't know. But I want to get a car. Well, I want to get married. I'm going to have a home. I want to make some money and put some money in the bank and have money for retirement. You know, here's what I want to do. And maybe someday, you know, when I'm old and decrepit and pains in my body, I can't do anything else, then I'll get saved. You know, you can't guarantee that even tomorrow the Spirit of God's going to speak to your heart. The Holy Spirit draws men to himself. If he doesn't, no one will ever be saved. That's why the Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation." Time is also short for us to serve the Lord. The day I got saved, I surrendered the ministry. I said, I don't want to waste a day. As soon as we graduated, we came and started a church. We didn't want to waste any time. You know, when our children were born, we determined we want to help them and take the time to encourage them to serve the Lord. You can't go back and recapture those days and times. They're gone forever. So the time is now. When that opportunity arises, you have to take advantage of that opportunity. Sometimes growing up on the farm, you learn some lessons. You know, you wait and you wait. I had an uncle that made a lot of money. He made it raising chickens. He was a chicken farmer. His name was Tom Townsley. He's my grandfather's brother. never had any children. His wife's name was Pearl. Her name was Aunt Pearl. Every Christmas, she would send all of my grandfather's grandchildren money. And it wasn't a lot of money, but it was significant. It was $5 or $10 for everybody. And back then, that was quite a bit of money. When we came to Connecticut, I remember my Aunt Pearl sent us some money. I think it was a couple $100 or something. I don't remember exactly how much. I mean, that was a blessing. That was interesting. So my father saw his uncle making all this money. He said, "We'll go in the chicken business." And it tanked. He didn't make any money. You know, worked hard and long hours and in the cold and the heat, and yeah, didn't make any money at it. It seemed like every time we'd try to do something, you know, it's too late. You know, I should have done that before. You know, Ben, if you put this money in the stock market, you're going to make all kinds of money. I have a preacher friend that somebody said, "Put your money all in the NASDAQ, and you're gonna make all this money." And he did. He put all this money in the NASDAQ stocks, and that was the year it sank. And it's never come back to what, even close to what it was. You know, you miss that time and it's gone. There was that opportunity. Did you ever go fishing and somebody said, "Should have been here yesterday. Boy, they were biting yesterday." Man, they were, yeah, well, so what? You hear that all the time. "Yeah, you should have been here before. Well, it was really something." Well, we missed it. It's gone. When opportunities are gone, they're gone forever. They're lost. You know, we have an opportunity to serve the Lord. You say, "I'm going to wait. Wait till I get married. Wait till we have children. I'll wait till we have money. I'll wait till my job's more secure." You know what you ought to do? You ought to say, "Hey, I can serve the Lord today. As a teenager, I can serve the Lord." I had a friend in Bible college. He ended up getting a car, and the main thing he did in that car is he brought people to church. That was the main purpose of his car. And he dedicated that to the Lord. He said, "I want to get people into church and get people saved." So we have the opportunity to serve the Lord. I know someone else, a young man, a teenager, he determined he was going to make money, and he did make money. But the reason he wanted to support missions, as a teenager, this was 40 years ago, as a teenager, 15, 16 years old, he gave $5,000 to Faith Promise Missions in 1 year. As a teenager, and that was 40 years ago. God can use us if we take advantage of the opportunities we have. What a blessing to serve the Lord. We have the ability to serve the Lord. What kind of health will you be in tomorrow? I mean, what kind of condition will you be in? You don't know. I mean, you might have an injury. You might not be able to go around and do things. You may be bedridden. You may get a disease. Today, you know what you can do. You have that opportunity today. You have to take advantage of it. Now's the time to serve the Lord. James made it pretty clear. He said, "Whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is our life? It is even a little vapor. It appears a little while and then vanishes away." So we have to take advantage of it while we can. Number 6, material things will pass away. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All these things of the earth will pass away. Did you ever notice that your car never improves, never gets better? You say, "Man, this is a vintage car. You know, it's 10 years old, 200,000 miles. It's really getting better the longer I own it." It doesn't work that way, does it? In your house, does it just get better and better? Or do things start breaking down? Now you have a leak. Now that thing doesn't work. What about your appliances? They still work over time. They don't get better. You know, you have all these things of the earth that will pass away. Moth and rust corrupts. 2 Corinthians 4:18. "While we look on the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Our goal should be not to seek things and material possessions and goods. Our goal should be to serve the Lord. Number 7, we must redeem the time. And you probably have this marked in your Bible. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, you can't buy the time literally, but we take advantage of every opportunity. Take advantage of the time. Do you ever feel like, man, I just wasted all day? That's happened. You know, you say, I'm going to go do this, and then you find out they're closed. They're not open on Monday. Then you go back to, we're not on Tuesday either. You got to come Wednesday through Sunday. Well, I can't do that. So we have different opportunities to serve the Lord. Redeem the time. Take advantage of that opportunity. Number 8, God is not limited by time. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Now, there's a bit of a dilemma in interpreting that verse or that passage. How much time is affected by God? Is he limited by time? Is he saying here that literally a day is 1,000 years for us? If that be the case, you know, you could say maybe it's going to be like 7 days and the Lord in an eternity future. It'd be 7,000 years. You could break it into that way. Very well could mean that. So you go six days and 6,000 years, then you got one more day is the millennial kingdom, then eternity future. It could be a reference to that. But we know one thing. Time is not the same constraint to God as it is to us. He's not limited by time. Did you ever pray about something and you said, Lord, you've got to do this here. I need this by this time. And you don't think in terms of God has no concept, but he has no limitations by time. He's not limited by time. And we're worried, you know, this has got to happen now, immediately. You know, you look at, we heard about Abraham this morning, and here he is 99 years old, and God said, you're going to be a father of many nations. You know, and all these people cover all the earth. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, God's not limited by time. So when we think of this concept of time, God is not limited in any way to it. And one day will not be. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27 says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He is the eternal God. Isaiah, prophesying of a Messiah that would come, said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. And I want you to notice the next words, the Everlasting Father. That literally is the Father of eternity. That's what he would be called, and then the Prince of Peace. So we have a mighty God who's the Everlasting Father. We think of terms of eternal, everlasting. That's a concept that's hard for us to grasp, to think time will be no more. We'll not be limited by time. When someone passes away, we don't really know what happens to them. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. So are they still there or are they not there? I think my wife had an illustration in Sunday school that, you know, kind of described this. You know, it's like you put a boat out in the water and it goes a little bit farther and it goes beyond the horizon. They're still there, but you can't see them. And when you think there are 3 instances in the Bible where Jesus spoke to someone who had passed away, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus heard him. He was still there. You say he was dead, but he was still there. He was somewhere. And he came back. You know, Jesus going to Nain, and there is this widow's son that is dead. They're carrying him out in a coffin. And Jesus came and touched it. He spoke to that young man, and he came forth. He was brought alive. You know, and what do you think he said? He said, is there a TV program I can get on and tell him about my experience? He didn't say that. He said, I wonder what happened to that football and the Patriots, you know, it was deflated. You know, really, really curious, whatever happened about that? You know what he probably said? He said, where's my mother? I want her to know I'm still here. And Jesus took him to his mother. Can you imagine what that must have been like? See, he was there all the time. She just couldn't see him. Jesus brought him back, and suddenly she heard his voice again. She knew his spirit was still there. When someone knows the Lord, they're not totally gone. They're not annihilated. They are there with him. It's just there's no time. They are in eternity already. When you have everlasting life, you have everlasting life from the day you get saved while you're here on this earth forever. So when a person passes away, they go to be with the Lord. They're still very much alive. And we have other instances in Scripture that tell us of conversation. You know, the rich man in hell and the Lazarus who laid at his gate in Abraham's bosom. We hear they were somewhere. But you see, they're not limited by time. Psalm 90 and verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Our days are limited, and we should apply our hearts and use that opportunity that we have. Sometimes people, you know, we're human beings, we're sinners. We waste a good part of our life and a good part of our time because we become selfish, internal, doing our thing. And you know, you never recapture those days and hours. But the Bible admonishes us, take advantage of that time now. Take advantage of the opportunity you have today and use it for the Lord. Someone said, if you had a bank that credited your account each morning with $86,000, but the balance never carried over to another day, they allowed you to keep no cash in your account. So every evening it's canceled. Whatever's there, it's gone. But every day you can use all of it you want. Well, there's 86,000 minutes in every day. Once they're gone, they're gone. That's an opportunity to serve the Lord. Today, the deposit's in our account. We have an opportunity to trust the Lord, to live for Him, to serve Him, to do some good deed, to make our life useful. Tomorrow, today's gone. There's no more opportunity to recapture today. Can't cry over spilled milk, as we say. You can't go back and agonize over what you could or should have done. But you can make something of what you've got today. And that's kind of how you have to look at it. Today, I'm going to serve the Lord. For anyone that might not know the Lord, if you've never truly been saved, you're not guaranteed it tomorrow. I think what has happened in our society, we've become so secular and humanistic that people just ignore the future. They ignore what is obvious. Where did you come from? You know, why are you here? What is your purpose in life? People don't even think about it. They're so caught up in just, how can I get more money? How can I get what I want? How can I be happy? They're so caught up in that, they don't realize there's an opportunity to do something for God, to please Him. It's why we were created. And one day, you may wake up and say, oh, I have regrets. I wish I had done this sooner. So don't waste another day. We've all wasted time. You know, we've all failed in that area in some way. But don't worry about the past. Worry about today. And don't worry so much about tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? Well, if the Lord tarries, we'll be another day older. Another day's gone. We have to do something with today. Take advantage of the opportunity that we have now. As I think about this year, Lord, lay a soul in my heart. Help me to win a soul to Him. You know, it'll be a theme in our missions conference. It's a theme with trying to get people here to talk about the defense of the faith. There are family members who are unsaved, neighbors, friends, people who you may meet. It's an opportunity. Once that opportunity is gone, it's gone. We have to take advantage of that opportunity now. Let's bow for prayer this morning.